Input level 69. Nice. Okay.
Nice. Did you see what Webster's Dictionary tweeted out the other day? So they have, you know, they have 100 new
followers.
Words.
Oh.
Yeah, good one. They have 100 new words that they add to the dictionary every year as, you know, society progresses. Words,
right. Language develops.
Progresses, yes.
Right, right.
So they add 100 words to the dictionary every year. And it's like 17. Chardonnate. I don't know. I'm just making up words here.
Yeah.
29. Taco friends.
Right. All these words we use on a daily basis now.
Yeah, like 41. Partusserate.
Right. Yeah, like I said.
That sounds like a word.
Well, I use it about twice a day in general conversation.
Do you partusserate?
That's not how you use it in a sentence, David, obviously.
The partusserate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a noun.
Right, right.
The partusserate.
Yes.
Is it, so it's like a, it's like an heir to the throne of Nigerian prince.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And it's like a phishing email.
Right.
From that heir to the throne of
the that's the origination of the word, but of course in the common vernacular, you know, we were introduced to that word through the Nigerian email scams.
But its country of origin is not Nigeria.
It's not.
No.
Oh, what where's
it's Niger?
Well, there's a difference. There is. But so now in the common vernacular in our, you know, it's like when someone is, you know, acting like they are of higher status than they really are, you know, it'd be like, David, if you decided, oh, I'm going to start wearing a gold chain around here because I feel like, you know, I have this like Italian heritage that's really core, even though it's like just grew up, you know, out in the county, I would say, you know, David, what do you think? You're some kind of partusserate rolling around in your gold chain?
That hurts my feelings. Which brings me to word number 57, which is you jerk. Which brings me to word number. So they tweeted out all these words, right? They tweeted out all of these words.
In like one.
There's not one tweet, you know, just separate tweets.
Yeah, but all the same 100. Day?
Yeah, all the same day.
Yeah. It
garnered media attention because they got to the 69th word.
Oh, no.
And it was nice.
Who runs their Twitter?
I don't know. Some genius.
Some 19-year-old genius.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Some 19-year-old genius. Not a mature 40-year-old Twitterer.
So they actually only added 99 words?
I think they added 101.
Okay.
Because they just took the 69th out.
That's...
Either way. Well, what is the origin of the word nice anyway?
That's
they gave a link to it and anything. Oh, it was great.
That's hilarious. Well, let's go ahead.
It has nothing to do with St. Louis, though.
No. Well, then let's talk it in and do the show.
St. Louis was founded in 1769. Four! not that one. The Overarching Podcast. I'm David Lemon.
And I am Bradley Rolfe.
And this is the 22nd episode.
Episode 22, also known as...
Episode...
22.
22.
Yes.
In
We're a multicultural, multi-global show
here. Do you know how to say 22 in any other language besides French and English?
No.
I don't know how to say it in Spanish.
No. We need... If you want to be a guest host...
Dose
and, tell us how
and
to talk,
dose.
You can't... Well, you can't, if you know how to say 22 in Spanish, don't call us because we're already recording.
Tweet
but
us.
If you want to be Instagram a us. Guest host on the 23rd episode and you know how to say 23 in Spanish, hit us up.
And I think you may only be used for your Spanish skills.
Be on the
just
pod.
To say 23, though.
Yeah, you live translation of the Overarching Podcast.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
Welcome.
This is a kind of bi-weekly show.
Yeah, this episode is coming up pretty late, but we've done a pretty good job of like every week or every other week. We need to get back
in
on that.
The thing is, we don't want to tie ourselves down to every week. But we definitely want to tie ourselves down to every other week.
Right.
But if there's things to talk about, we're going to do every week. And there's always things to talk about in the city. But we have just been absolutely crushed with time.
We've been
2.5 weeks.
I don't know what you've been doing. I've been doing a lot of things. I'm always doing a lot of things.
Yeah. Are you saying that I'm not doing anything with my life?
No, I'm saying you probably are. I just don't know what those are because we haven't been doing the same things.
I'm going
things.
Around the city talking to people.
Oh, yeah? You're at Topgolf?
Yeah. I've only been there twice.
I feel like everyone's like, hey, Dave, what are you doing today?
It was two times.
Yeah, well, that's the only times I ever asked you, so.
Maybe you should talk to me more.
Maybe I should talk to you more and pay attention to your life.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that'd be nice.
Yeah, jury's out.
No, there isn't. Well, maybe only. Okay, if you're the jury.
Agree to disagree.
Well, this is a show where we talk about St. Louis arts and culture. And
yeah, this is our first episode in October. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, welcome to October. That is very sad. What's the best month? Well, I'd actually beg to differ. Let's see. I'd say November is probably the best month of the year.
Yeah, it is.
Why? Because it's your birthday month?
Yeah, duh. And the weather just like works best typically.
I agree. The weather works best in November. Nothing crazy happens.
Yeah.
It's not really going to happen all year.
The weather has been like figuring itself out, and then November it finally says, "What about this?" And like it hits this, you know, great. And then December rolls around.
This?
And then the weather's like, oh, "I tried so hard through November. I'm going to relax a second." And then it starts all over again.
It's just like I'm gonna take that sheet down that I held back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to happen. Apparently, Dave Murray, RIP, Dave Murray.
Rest in retirement.
RIR, Dave Murray. No, what a dude. His last show was last month.
Mm.
And what did we say again? Like 37 years, something like that.
I mean, you listen back to podcasts, whichever one we talked about.
19 or 8, 20, something like that.
Yeah.
But now he's not on the air anymore, and he can't tell us what the Farmer's Almanac tells him and what he's going to tell us about the winter. But he did say it's going to be a pretty harsh winter.
So this winter, we'll know it's harsh going into it, but for the rest of time, we're going to have no idea what the weather's going to be like.
There are no other meteorologists in this city.
That's a shame. It's a shame.
No one's stepping up, man.
It's because
Channel
education,
4, 2,
education
5,
is not focused.
Channel 30, which I don't think anybody watches.
Education hasn't been focused on the skilled trades like meteorology. We need to get back to that. Yeah. You know, 4-year education is delightful, wonderful, and valuable. However, there are a lot of different opportunities. You can't tell every kid that they can't be a meteorologist. And that's what's wrong with America today.
What's wrong with America is every child wants to be a meteorologist?
No, what's wrong with America is the English departments in high schools are telling children that they can't be meteorologists.
Oh.
That was my point. I don't know if you came through it.
I did not, obviously. That's why I asked you a question in response.
Perfect. Well, now it's clear.
Hooray.
And I think everyone agrees with us.
Do they, though?
Yeah, well, let's see. Everybody, do you agree?
Yeah.
Oh.
That wasn't me.
Thanks, everybody. David, what's official real topic number one?
Official real topic number one.
Like, because I know you do research on the show, and sometimes if I pay attention to things that happen, I'll say, oh, this happened, or I did this.
Yeah, well, I walked around the Loop the other day, which I used to work in the Loop.
Right.
That's where my office was for about a year and a half. And Joe Edwards, which is a name that is synonymous with, really?
Yeah. He's kind
that,
kind of
that
he's,
word with that inflection.
Yeah, yeah.
That word with that inflection.
Like not entirely
is synonymous.
Not
with
entirely
Joe
a boo hiss, but on the
right,
but
right.
on the cusp.
It's a question of why, and then he does it, and you're like, oh, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure.
No.
It has no positive or negative impact, really. It's just like you're gonna be there.
No, have fun, Joe. Yeah.
So there's been walking around, and you know that the old Mount Olive Church. That's abandoned near, right across the street from the pageant.
Yes.
So on the, what would that be? The south side
mm-hmm.
of Del Mar. So he's looking into restoring that.
Oh.
And so there's a vacant lot directly next to it, which is right next to Pi and all that.
Yeah.
And so it was actually planned as the African American Cultural Center.
Okay.
To build there, which would have been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And there were, so there were buildings for like probably a building plans for like a decade, I think, to do that. And of course, they were just stalled and nothing ever came to
just,
it.
Just, yeah, development purgatory.
But so loops changing, Joe Edwards trolley's never going to happen. I take that back. Joe Edwards trolley will come about when there will actually be a Hyperloop to St. Louis, from St. Louis to Kansas City.
There you go.
And then we'll
if not after.
We'll have the ability to go up and down the street of Del Mar in the exact same amount of time on a trolley as it takes to get from St. Louis to Kansas City. And that's when Joe Edwards will have it done.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You're not wrong.
So he's got a pretty big...
is it running, technically?
It every so often.
Okay, they're still...
It's super
still, like,
rare.
Gotcha.
But they're all tests, really. I don't think it's really open to the public yet. So what's going to happen is... Joe Edwards has a new project for that abandoned church, the Mount Olive Church, and
yeah,
the lot next
to it. Yeah, because if you can't follow through on one thing, start something else.
He is envisioning...
High-rise condos?
And no. No.
With this neighborhood
I wish
needs.
Totally needs high-rise condos. You know, that huge high-rise condo.
Historic buildings, just, nah. High-rise condos? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally not. He's planning an indoor mini golf course and an inside 16-foot Ferris wheel.
Wait, 16-foot Ferris wheel?
Yeah, think about it.
Like a two-story, like a... There's like
a little tiny, I'm assuming with like five seats.
No, because like I've seen, it's like the church picnic renta thing. I think that Ferris wheel is actually bigger. It's like the baby, the children... Ferris, what is that going to accomplish? Oh, it's a Ferris wheel inside of a building. How novel.
Right. What is it supposed to, what is it supposed to accomplish? So they're building a new, they're constructing a new building. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
Next door in that lot in which it will house the mini golf course and other things. Now it has its second floor, so it's a two-floor design. And honestly, the design of the building looks like it fits in with the area, to be fair.
Okay.
And there's going to be a big marquee down the front of it.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a great design. And that's one thing that Joe Edwards actually does well is aesthetic.
Yeah.
And you have to give him that. Like, he understands aesthetic, and the trolley design it's a pretty piece of work.
Yeah,
like,
it looks...
They're beautiful constructs.
Yeah.
But I think that's all he cares about. It's like, what's a director that we know and love that's really, really into aesthetics and not anything else?
I mean, I can think of a director that's really into aesthetics and everything else.
What, Wes?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But who are you thinking of?
I'm just straight up thinking of George Lucas.
A little bit, but he was...
I'm talking about modern-day George Lucas.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he was a good storyteller at one time.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe Joe was, too. Maybe Joe Edwards was a great...
Developer.
Envisionist.
Yeah.
At one point in his career.
No, I don't know.
Maybe Joe Edwards is St. Louis's George Lucas.
I don't want to get into George Lucas right now.
Why not?
Know.
He did some things.
Yeah.
Three things.
Yeah, that's true. No.
And he did nothing else.
He came up with, he thought up Indy.
No.
He co-stole that idea.
He stole that, right, exactly.
Yeah, but he made it,
it is
all of his all of his ideas are stolen, come on. Like,
to be fair,
but so
yes.
is Tarantino. But that doesn't mean he's not creative and making something new out of it.
Then maybe Joe Edwards should take note. Maybe stop trying to be super, super original and steal ideas that work and make them aesthetically pleasing.
Hey, like, you know, for instance, with Indy, you know, Lucas worked closely with Spielberg, somebody who is really good at, you know, telling stories in that medium. And then Lucas kind of has this, like, well, what if it's this? And what if it's this? And, like, we could do this, but it's that. And he's
so
like,
what
yeah,
city
I can
leaders,
work with that.
What city leaders should Joe Edwards work with?
Yeah, but then once again, back on the Lucas thing, like I said, you know, once Lucas kind of got his own enough money and power to do his own things by himself, he said, I'm going to surround myself with... So, yeah, so Joe Edwards should team up with people, like developers who understand city planning and cultural engagement as an aesthetic, whatever. Will that happen? Does he listen to the pod? Maybe no one told Joe Edwards this before ever. Joe, if you're listening, shout out.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Team up with some people who
we like the kind of impact that you have on the community because you have prowess. That means you have power, you have persuasive abilities.
You get things kind of done sometimes
your
eventually.
Your signature weighs more than mine and Bradley's combined over our entire lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, so dude, like, we want to help you out. We want to help you help us help them help
all.
Yes. St. Louis.
Hold on. Is that our new slogan? Let us help you help us help them help all. Right?
The overarching pod.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Sure.
Nice.
We already talked about that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Stop going back.
It's called a callback, David. It's comedy gold.
I don't think that's true. Speaking of callbacks, did you hear callback to 2015?
Oh, I was like, I didn't audition for anything recently.
Did you?
No. Not yet.
Did you hear this crap about all of these people talking about, hey, Los Angeles Chargers, come to St. Louis.
I saw one headline and scrolled right past it.
Right. Thank you. And I think that's exactly what we should be doing on this podcast. If anybody tells you or tries to talk to you about, hey, we should totally bring an NFL team
need...
to St. Louis, shut your mouth.
Yeah. No.
Go home, look it up, and realize what kind of economic impact it would have on the city.
Yeah.
And it would send us into a spiral of plunging terror.
Yeah.
But
speaking of
the dump at the America Center?
Well, speak about that, and then I'll speak about the other thing. Because I don't think we've talked about it on the pod because all this stuff has happened in the past weeks. So much has happened.
With what? With what, Bradley?
What has happened? With MLS.
What does MLS stand for?
Major League Soccer. So if you remember last year, there was a whole big thing about, hey.
David getting really mad.
Yeah. Because there was a whole bid, and St. Louis was on the short list to bring a Major League Soccer expansion team, and there were these beautiful pictures of a new stadium, and there was an ownership team of folks, you know, connected to STLFC and a bunch of other stuff, and it was really, really good, but they needed $60 million in public funds, and the city said no, because we're still butthurt over Kroenke. And there are other political reasons, and I'm sure people had good reasons to vote no on that.
And there were good reasons to vote no.
And there were good, we just wanted a soccer team.
Right. Well, I was just a little selfish.
Yeah.
And there were good reasons to vote no on it, because this way, we don't have to pay $60 million of city taxes.
Yeah, because what has happened recently?
Do you know a family called the Taylors?
Is that Enterprise?
Yeah, I was just asking if you knew a family called the Taylors, because I'm assuming you do, because it's quite a common last name.
Probably.
But anyways, the Taylor family of the Enterprise fame decided they put in majority owner funds into this club. Turns out they teamed up with Jim Cavanaugh, the president of, the CEO of... SCLFC.
Yep.
And they struck a deal where they were saying, hey, we really want to bring this team to St. Louis because we want to fight to bring a team to St. Louis. It's going to have more than just a positive economic impact on the city. It's going to create a community in which not a lot of things can do something that quickly.
Yep.
And it will give ways out for kids in need of activities in which they otherwise would be harming themselves and others with their free time. It gives outlets to those kids, and there's going to be so many boys and girls club benefits with this team, with the organization. And I think the most enticing part of this bid is that it is majority female owned.
Yeah.
And it would be the first female-owned a Major League Soccer squad in the, well, in the, what is it, in the entire MLS. So,
yeah.
That's huge. And the funny part was that the Taylors, like, that was actually not our intention. We're just all women.
That's
like,
awesome.
The generation that wanted to be a part of this, it's just like, well, there's just a lot of us women that want to be part of this. And, man, I'm really excited because if you just bring that bid to Don Garber, which we would be one of the 28 teams to be in Major League Soccer by 2022, most likely.
Yeah.
Ours is, well, we are one of, well, let's see, hold on. For the past, every single World Cup that we've been in as a nation, there has been somebody from St. Louis on that team every single World Cup.
Yeah.
And so, like, this city runs deep with soccer in our roots. So we'd say, hey, we're St. Louis. You know us, Don. Hey, Don Garber, who is, for those of you who don't know who Don Garber is,
the commissioner of Major League Soccer. Yeah.
And we want to, the funds now, and it's going to be downtown, which is exactly what you wanted, and it's going to be a state-of-the-art facility, and it's going to bring people together, and we're probably going to combine a practice facility out in the county, so the county gets a little bit of it, too. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, we're going to be the first female majority-owned team in soccer.
Yeah.
And then he looks at that and goes, well, that's great for press.
Right, right. Like, well, and even before all that...
You'd be so dumb not to do that.
Even before all that, with all the expansion talk with the previous bid, you know, Don's got to be impartial, but he, because of the history and everything, like, and the market, like, he was... Everything he kind of talked about, you know, expansion teams, especially as our stuff was, like, he kept saying, like, yeah, there's this place, and you know, and St. Louis too is he's kind of like a soft spot in his heart for us too.
He does.
He wants it to be.
And Taylor
here.
Twellman, who is I'll call him a St. Louis Sports Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
We works pretty closely with Don. Like, he talks to Don all the time. He's a big advocate of bringing Major League Soccer to St. Louis. So he has some hands in pockets.
Yeah,
I bet. I don't want to go in too deep into the whole bid, but get excited because this is probably going to happen.
Yeah, and speaking
and
of
you
getting...
You can't put a nail in the coffin, right?
Right.
Just yet, but you can make waves here. You can start telling your friends it might happen.
Well, and in getting excited for this, what's a good way to kind of get yourself ready...
Buy season tickets for the 2019 season of St. Louis FC.
Which, by the way, so this was our fourth season of existing St. Louis FC, the USL second United tier
soccer
professional
mm-hmm.
soccer team that plays out at Soccer Park in Fenton,
mm-hmm.
and we made it to the playoffs.
Yes, and that's tonight. The first round of the
playoffs.
The first round of the playoffs is tonight. And there is a watch party at 9:00 at the Soccer Park.
Nice.
We play in Orange County. They're a 1 seed. We're an 8 seed. We
are probably going to get...
We need a prayer.
Yeah.
But we have hope.
Okay.
We are a good squad.
Is this all single elimination?
Yeah. When we play our best, we are a great squad. We have great chemistry. So I'll let the boys over at the Luligan podcast and the Man City podcast.
Yeah, if you want to learn about
a little bit more
soccer in this town and in general quickly and kind of get up to speed.
Yeah, shout out to those boys.
Yeah, one
Brad,
show,
Mitch, and Matt.
Yeah, listen to their pod, and then also next summer hits around, show up to some games. You don't have to stand in the corner with all the crazy Luligans, but that's a lot of fun.
But you should
go
to the games.
It. Yeah,
get any experience you can, because one of the biggest beefs people have with going to the games. Well, it's not real professional soccer.
Well, it is.
You go to those games and you watch those boys play footy, and you realize, wow, they are actually pretty dang good.
Right.
And it's on the level of, I'd say, League One over in, I can't think of the country, England.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Sorry, Matt Bird. I know, that's where you're from, and I did a bad job. Yeah, so go over, listen to the Luligan podcast or the Man City podcast with PK and Matt Hutchison and those boys. They do a good job if you want to know more about Major League Soccer coming to St. Louis as a potential. But just down the road,
mm-hmm.
The America Center,
Yeah, the dome.
Yeah, so they're getting some major upgrades, probably.
Okay.
And emphasis on the probably.
Your emphasis on.
I really hope it's probably. So, Lyda Carusin, our lovely, lovely mayor.
Yes.
Our lovely first female mayor, who, honestly, I'm going to give her some props so far. Right. I think she's done a fantabulous job in the role. Man, it's being a mayor of this city.
Oh.
Has to put so much stress on you.
Absolutely.
Like, even if the person wasn't doing a great job, I'd be like, good job just sticking it out, pal.
Yeah, you're still there.
Good job being alive and, you know, knowing what you're doing. So, Lyda Carusin and county exec Steve Stanger and Explore St. Louis Prez, what is her name? Kitty. I think it's Kitty.
Keep talking, I'll look it up.
Her name's Kitty. And they have new plans to renovate and build out the Dome of the Americas Center. Not just the Dome, so America Center itself. The Dome probably won't be upgraded at all, actually. But the America Center will be. So this is because convention attendance and convention booking was down 18 to like 25% last year.
Were you saying Mary Elizabeth Grimes?
No, Explore St. Louis president.
Explore St. Louis. It says commissioners, Ms. Mary Elizabeth Grimes president. Is that who we're talking
really?
About?
Really? I thought it was
but then there's a lady chairman named Kitty. Andrew B. Lynn. I don't know.
Oh, well, either way. So the CVC is looking at doing these things, and I wrote them down. They're looking at adding a new green space on 9th and Lucas, which adding more green space to downtown areas is proven fact that it does not work and it's bad for the economy.
Really?
There have been many, many, many studies that show adding green space and parks in downtown areas is not good for the economy whatsoever. But we already have the mall.
Yeah.
That just goes straight like Keener Plaza.
Right,
and
right. All the way down.
All the way to the Gateway Arch and the City Park and all the way down to Memorial Building. And I think that's enough park for downtown. I really do. Because then you've got the whole Arch Park.
Well, and the thing too is like, what is the purpose of the green space? Because it looks good on a proposal.
It looks great on the proposal. Right.
But
and they're actually looking at holding like amphitheater sessions outside. If
okay.
It's really nice out and they're like hosting events, corporate events, you can do that outside there. But why can't you just do that at Keener Plaza? Why can't you do that other places? You've got
Soldiers Memorial. They do events there.
Yeah, and they just renovated Soldiers Memorial.
There you go.
It's about to open up. And that was a great
segue.
Job.
Yeah.
Good job.
I planned it.
So they're going to have a new entrance. So they're going to redo that entrance on, what is that? Oh, what street is that? Lemon. Come on. 7th Street. Anyway, so there's the big entrance. 8th Street. Something like that. On Washington.
Mm-hmm.
On Wash Ave. So you know that big rounded entrance.
Yes, the one where you're like, is this the place? Oh, this is the place.
Yeah, this is the place. So they're redoing that, and it's going to, you know, they're not going to rebuild it. They're not good, but they are going to add huge LED boards underneath the overhang of, they're going to have like a big overhang that jets out a little bit, and they're going to have LED lights above, like, on the underside of that overhang. So I think they could do a lot of that, like a lot with that. LEDs for life, y'all. LEDs make everything better.
Sure.
They're going to add 92,000 square feet of space. They're going to add 64,000 square feet of additional ballrooms. And they have, just other aesthetic improvements.
Yeah.
And they're also, on top of that, and this is the big one, that could actually bring in a lot bigger conventions. They're adding 28 loading docks.
Ooh, wow.
Which to many people are like, who cares? What? Loading docks? Okay, no. Imagine how much millions of dollars comes in one dock alone.
You think about the boat show, you know, stuff like that. You're going to need loading docks to load things in.
Yep, that's a good thing. Good job. I really hope this comes to fruition. It's a $175 million project paid by
That's not a lot.
By bonds. Issued by the city, probably. That's my guess.
Right.
Possibly. And honestly, because if it's the bonds that come by the city, they can expand it out to like 30 years or so, or like 40 years of bonds. who cares? Whatever. Because city money is unimportant, and it's all fake anyways, right?
Well, all money is fake. All money is a construct. Do you think about like literally like a postage stamp?
Are we going to go into this right now?
Is currency functionally?
Okay, accurate.
But no, let's talk about St. Louis.
And it's funny. It's more fun because it's sticky.
Yeah, let's just go around
sticky money
paying for things with stamps.
Yeah, how much sticky money do I owe you? Well, how much is it worth now? 48 cents. I don't know.
Oh, I did. I had enough. I had enough stamps when I left home.
It's a dollar. I only have 2 stamps. 96 cents. Oh no, I'm an idiot. But yes, speaking of Soldiers Memorial, they redid Soldiers Memorial, and it's been shut down for like what, almost a year and a half.
Man, construction
two
takes
years
too long.
Either way, it's reopening pretty soon, and you're gonna need to go check it out because they redid a lot of the facade, they touched up some of the sculptures, and they added new exhibits, and honestly, it looks great. It's one of the prettiest buildings downtown, period. Great, column. I was gonna try to say a word like columnular.
Yeah.
Columnular.
The columvirate.
Columns.
The
columnular.
Columnicious.
That's a word that they should add, Webster. Come on. Either way, that's happening, and right next door. They also have municipal courts building that's downtown?
Yes.
It's gorgeous. So they're trying to turn that into a super swanky hotel. Hmm. And I think that'd be kind of cool. There'd be a ton of bar. There'd be like two big bars inside there. I think there'd probably be a pretty cool nightlife in that building.
Yeah.
It's because the aesthetic's cool. And I think whenever you're looking for a good time on a Saturday night or a Friday night, aren't you going for two things, which is cocktail abilities to drink and aesthetics?
Yep.
How many? We need to get a ticker of how many times David Lemon says aesthetic in this podcast.
Aesthetic.
I think so far I'm up to like 8 or 9.
Wow.
Yeah, sure. Good work. So that's getting an upgrade downtown as well. There's a ton of stuff that's going on downtown right now in terms of facade upgrades. There's a garage redevelopment opportunity happening.
Yeah.
That maybe would just, they'd be able to knock it down and build some other structure there, which is great because parking garages are the worst thing in the world. Why not just, you know. It sucks to be in St. Louis, though, downtown, because there are so many caves in St. Louis, and there's so many abilities to have, you know, sinkholes
right
all over the city because caves,
yeah,
not a good idea.
Yeah.
Also, they just did a little bit of construction right next to the Major League Soccer stadium proposed site. So they're building that 6-story Fairfield in. What? It's very unnecessary. That's a suburb thing.
I mean, stop it. People need to stay in hotels.
Downtown. Get out. Don't want you there.
Whatever.
And they're also constructing, Southwest Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with downtown, but this is new construction.
Yeah.
Since we're on the topic of new construction, Southwest is looking to add, an airport terminal 2. A baggage claim expansion.
Oh.
So they're looking at adding another, so a third baggage claim.
So you can claim your baggage quicker?
Yeah, so the worst thing about Lambert Airport is the baggage claim because of how slow the teams are by getting it in.
Yeah.
And there's not enough space in Terminal 2 with Southwest. They literally have 2 carousels.
Yeah,
I sneezed. I'm sorry.
I just thought you're supposed to wait for baggage. But, like, you go other places.
You go to, like, Austin, Texas, and it's there.
You're like Austin's... I just got off the airplane. I just got off the airplane.
My bag's not supposed to be here yet.
No, it's supposed to like sit and like get on a truck and then they're gonna like do donuts in the field and then bring it around and like it's gonna fall off. It's gonna fall off the truck and someone has to like walk out and grab it.
Oh,
and
here's
then,
the thing.
And then when they bring it in finally, you've seen movies how like there's like a labyrinth of crazy conveyor belts inside the belly of the airport.
Oh, that's true.
And your baggage has to go on like a 5-mile journey, like it's a Disney ride to get from the airplane to your baggage claim terminal.
So what you're saying is Disney needs to look into having a ride
called baggage claim,
or like the one in Monsters Inc. You know, when they go around with those doors.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's basically the same idea. Maybe they should just do a Monsters Inc.
You know, like every Disney, I say every Disney movie, but many Disney movies or cartoon like
have scenes they in have which a scene. They can build a ride off.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah, yes. Oh yeah, yeah. They need to. The thing is, they need to go back to the gold of don't because how many of those? And they, I'm sure they do all have rides. But the real money is making movies based off rides.
Is it though? I don't know how the economy of Disney works.
Pirates, dude.
Well, it was a ride first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You need to make movies based off of rides. That was a good... We just watched that again recently, you and I.
Oh, what a great film. Also...
It stands up.
This afternoon, I'm going to see Keira Knightley in another period piece.
Well, that's you and your Keira Knightley...
I love Keira Knightley in period pieces,
that's
man.
That's David's favorite genre of film.
It is.
Containing Keira Knightley in period clothing.
That... Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Leave her there, man. She just belongs in those roles.
What else has she done? What contemporary roles has she played? You can't think of any, can you?
I can. I actually can only think of one in like a long, 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 long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, but you're confusing her with Natalie Portman.
But I'm not.
But I know. But that's not contemporary. That's not a contemporary role. I'm saying like where it
was to that point in time.
That yeah, but you could say that about a period piece.
No, oh, it was a long. It was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far,
David,
far away.
I'm saying a film made set in the present day.
The answer that I can give you is no. I have no idea about any Keira Knightley film that she's not wearing a corset. it's just the truth. Hey, what about, you know, your whole new gig is in Crestwood.
Yeah.
And what's happening in Crestwood now?
Crestwood, they finally tore down the piles of dirt.
Woo!
Where the mall used to be.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
And they're making like a Streets of St. Charles type style thing.
Interesting.
So it's the where the old Crestwood Mall used to be on Watson, just a little bit west of the Guitar Center, and a little bit east of Laumeier Sculpture Park, and a little bit north of Grant's Farm. And a little bit south of whatever's north of there.
That was a great explanation.
Well, now people know where it is.
Geographically where it is.
Specifically. I didn't, you know, take down the coordinates for you GPSers. But it's going to be like a mixed, you know, it's just, there's going to be parking lots, and there's going to be office buildings, and there's going to be four-level retail, and there's going to be a movie theater, and there's going to be the trail. Yeah.
Yes.
The trail.
The trail is the best part.
The trail is
going to connect.
Trail's going to connect. Trail. There's going to be a big loop around the whole thing. The Grand Trail.
It's called the City of Crestwood. Crestwood City Center.
Crestwood City Center, because suburbs have city centers, but whatever.
Yes, Crestwood City Center is what it's being called.
Where you have to drive to it.
So remember, like a few years back, the Urban Street Group of Chicago was trying to develop their plan to, you know, redevelop the mall site? The city of Crestwood was like, nah, brah, because, you know, it's run by a bunch of millennials.
Right.
So they're like, nah, brah.
The city of Crestwood's run by, yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Perfect.
Of course it is, because look what they're building. They're building the most millennial thing ever, which is, we want to be city people, but we know at heart that we're suburbians.
Yeah, yeah.
That describes millennials for you.
But it looks like one.
It looks honestly, it looks pretty great.
Yeah,
it looks like it might work.
I won. We're finally doing something with the space.
Yeah, just do something.
Well, yeah, just
something. Anything. Anything is good. But they did put a lot of work into it. So it's not being done by a group out of Chicago anymore. It's being done by Walpert Properties of Grief Gore.
Hey.
Keep the money here.
Yes,
keep
yes,
the money
yes,
in
yes.
the area. Let's go.
Yes.
Way to go, Crestwood.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the good thing, too, is...
It's a 47-acre site, dude.
Yeah.
It's a massive piece of land.
Yes. And also, like, looking at... Because we get the Suncrest whatever local paper at the office, and so occasionally I'll peruse it. But apparently, more Sunset Hills than Crestwood. But yeah. Those neighborhoods, just from zoning, like, they don't have a lot of commercial space zoned. So, like, there's a whole issue about, like, you know, there's...
So this whole thing's going to be mixed use,
right,
by the way.
Right. So, but that's what I'm saying is you don't think about, especially in those kind of, you know, suburban municipalities, is, you know, municipalities cannot live off personal property tax alone unless you're Huntley, and the so developments like this, just from a tax base side of things, is also good. And then from an economic, you know, people getting out and doing things and having jobs and spending money,
think about how much St. Charles has taken off from this.
Yeah,
this is what,
well,
this
South
is
County,
what suburban
South County,
people want.
South County is the new, or could be the new St. Chuck.
I
in a good way.
That. I would say that. Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of demographic and also even just, like, cost per square foot similarities between St. Charles and South County. Right. South County just has a little more
St. Charles
history.
Doesn't have that much anymore.
Right.
St.
Right.
Charles is becoming a primo destination for people that want to not live in this city.
Yeah.
Or
so if
I
you're
guess the St. Louis County area.
Yeah.
But so the streets of St. Charles is taken off. The Boulevard in Brentwood is expanding.
Yeah.
And they're going to phase two as well. The Meadows out in Lake St. Louis is expanding. And guess what they're building, Bradley, out where I grew up?
They're building a Taco Bell? I can't.
No, they're building
high-rise condos. High-rise condos.
Yeah, they're building high-rise condos.
Just what this neighborhood needs.
Even though it's probably only like 4 stories tall. But that's high-rise for Lake St. Louis.
Hey. You got to do. But that's the perfect place
for 4-story condos.
Yeah.
Actually it is. They need
yeah,
it.
Well, that's why I said it.
They really do need that. So anyways, back to the city of Crestwood and the Crestwood City Center.
Yeah.
It's going to be, and these are huge numbers, by the way. 240,000 square feet of office space, which will be 200,000 square feet of Class A space. But first of all, stop making Class A space.
What is Class A space for those who don't know?
Class A space is primo. It is really, really nice amenities.
Okay.
Bathrooms and what have you. Has a front desk already like built in for you. It's up to codes and then some.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically just means we're meeting the requirements of a building and then going way out of our way to meet this high level of building security. Amenities and I'm gonna say the word again, aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it's just a super new age and it's just clean.
Right. And so the good thing about that is it costs more rent.
Right. Great thing. But that attracts businesses who have that kind of money.
Right.
To do that.
Who already have
an established thing, which makes sense if you're a city of Crestwood, you want to attract people who are going to stay there for the long haul.
Right.
Right. And you don't have to do it more than once. So I understand when you're going to build something why you want to make it Class A space. But finding like
local companies,
finding local
that are
companies,
small and growing.
Right. That want to do that out in the county, that's going to be hard to come by. I mean, if Class B space would be preferable almost. Yeah. But we're going to let it slide. See what happens. 40,000 square feet of medical office space. On top of that, they're going to have like 3 parking garages, which is fine. Like, you need them.
Yeah.
Over at, like, in the county, parking garages are fine.
Yeah. And it's better than a sprawling lot.
A movie theater.
Right.
Because I don't think there is a big movie theater out that way.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, Ronnie's is the nearest thing, isn't it?
Oh, Ronnie's is right down the road. Never mind.
Well, but it's down the, I mean, it's not far away, but it's far.
Ronnie's, what is it? It's like 4 miles. That's not that far.
But if you're in the, if you're in that neighborhood, it'll be. I think there's enough of a draw to.
You think there's a need for it?
I mean,
maybe,
what's
on,
a
maybe,
need?
Well, I'll have to look into the movie theater size, because if it's like a boutique theater, perfect. and like super upscale and
like a landmark theaters kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like a six theater, a six room.
Well, kind does of it thing. Say anything about that?
Oh, let me look. Let me look. I'm gonna have to go back on the site that I found it.
Okay.
Because I wrote all this information down. Just gotcha. Shout out to my boy Chris Streitzel over at Building St. Louis. For sometimes staying up to date on these kind of things that I can always go back on his website and usually find it pretty quickly.
Yes.
Which is Building St. Louis. Check it out. Nothing. I don't see anything.
Anyway, we'll find out. But
we'll post it on our website.
But yeah, connecting.
And you can find the images of what it's going to look like on Chris's page as well. On Chris Dressel's page as well, Building St. Louis.
Connecting those trails, connecting the
and then on top of the office space, mind you, there's like equally almost the same exact amount of retail space.
Yeah.
So like what did I say, 240,000.
Yeah.
And then it's probably like around 200,000 square feet of retail space as well.
So that'll be good.
So if you want, if you own a business, small business or not, or you're working for a business that has lots of success, that's like a chain and wants to go out there, hit them up. Also, it's going to have a direct connection to Grant's Trail. So that's great. Hooray. Yes. Bradley, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know how much I want to talk about it, but I feel like it's in my wheelhouse. The Muni announced the next season.
Hooray!
I'm kind of excited about some of the things.
This is the second Muni announcement that we've had on the pod.
Yeah?
Yeah, we did the Muni announcement last year.
Well, yeah, we did. We did. Because we were doing the pod.
We were doing the pod.
Yeah. So they... I don't know if they're listed in the order they're going to be in.
Also, you need to go check out the massive work that they're doing right now on the Muni.
Yeah, dude, have you seen like the videos of like when the stage was all like pulled out and you're like,
Nothing's there.
It's wild, man. But so, like I was excited.
Go take a walk around the Muni, folks, and just go, what is happening?
Yeah, yeah. Something big is happening.
It looks awesome.
Yeah,
it's gonna look great.
It's gonna be amazing.
We're gonna be able to put on huge shows like
Guys and Dolls.
Whoa,
which is one of my personal favorites, and I think they'll probably. And I saw it in New York in 2009. So you can do this
what
show
theater?
Really big. Was it the? I forget. It wasn't
the Gershwin.
Probably if that's where it was playing.
I don't know.
I remember.
I'm just saying the Gershwin.
It might have been that. It might have been Neil Simon. I'm not 100% sure. No, it was probably something else. Anyway.
Continue.
So that you can do that. Like
you can do
Muni,
that either, big or small.
Muni does big things, and they're going to have a brand new stage. So I have high hopes that it's going to be a really exciting, big show. Kinky Boots, which has opened in Broadway within the past decade, 2013. You know, multiple award nominations and wins. And obviously being such a new show, it's, you know, going to be the first time. It's also a regional premiere. So it's the first time Muni's doing it, but it's a regional premiere of this show on this level.
I think that's pretty cool. We're getting a show that's won a couple. How many Tonys did it win?
A bunch. I don't know.
Yeah. But it won some Tonys back in 2013.
Yeah.
And that's recent.
Yeah.
And
and it won some Grammys.
That's a big deal.
It won Grammys because you know who did the music for it?
I do not know.
Cyndi Lauper.
Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper wrote the tunes for it.
That's a big deal.
Won a bunch of Grammys, and so it's about roughly. I read up on it. A couple like smaller companies have done it in the past. I think Stray Dog did it, but I'm generally unfamiliar with the show. But apparently, there's like this guy runs his family's failing shoe factory, and then becomes friends with this drag queen who needs like very specific shoes or boots, and then like kind of helps revitalize the shoe company, and they learn that they're not so different after all or something. But it sounds like it's great, and it's really exciting that there are a handful of shows that like have been on the list, like In the Heights, Memphis, Ragtime,
like the three that I voted for,
right, that would be really really good as far as like, because especially this is the 101st season, new century, like those would be shows that would really demonstrate, hey, we're moving forward in, you know, our theatrical repertoire. This is
the fact, Boots is one of them.
The fact that they're doing something contemporary, the fact that, you know, basically people who are hyper conservative and don't know what a drag queen is, like, freak out about it. But whatever. 1776. That'll be a long night.
My favorite year.
That show, It's good. I don't.
My dad loves it.
Your dad loves that show.
John Lemon loves that show.
It is. It has like one. It has the longest scene in musical theater without music.
Really?
It has like a 30 or 45 minute stretch of the show where there's literally, like, it's a 3 hour show and there's 7 songs in the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Roughly speaking, but yeah. So it's a good
that makes
show.
Sense as to why my
it's
dad
a good show.
It.
It's a fun show. It's also
I love
a weird
dialogue
show.
Driven musicals.
And it is, and it's basically a, it's on that line of like a play with songs.
Right.
So it's good. Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
Ooh.
And so apparently, I think this one has been like updated a lot. And so I don't know the specifics of this show, but that'll be good and fun for the whole family. Footloose.
My dad was just in that.
He was just in a community theater production. I saw. Yes.
He was the preacher.
Yeah. He was great. It's a garbage show.
Oh, it's a horrible show.
It's you know if you it's all
I,
about
I
the
did not
it's a jukebox
it.
It's a jukebox musical. They mash the favorite songs into different things, and they write characters and roughly, and then they do the things, and it's fine. It'll probably, and once again, large-scale Muni shows, there'll probably be some really good dance numbers, some really good stuff incorporating the Muni kids, Muni teens.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll probably be a fun spectacle evening, and it's a garbage show. That's fine.
Yeah.
Lerner and Lowe's Paint Your Wagon.
Woo!
Also unfamiliar with it. This has only been done at the Muni once previously, and it was over 50 years ago.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And similarly to what they did with The Wiz recently and Unsinkable Molly Brown recently, is they have a brand new book, you know, script for the show.
Did they really?
Yes. Yeah. So we're brand new, updated. So the cool thing about the Muni is like a lot of, you can look at the Muni and say, oh, they're just doing crowd favorites and they're trying to sell a lot of tickets and whatever. They do, as far as like a regional theater, they do a lot of kind of inventive stuff where they're on the front edge of new, you know, some of those, there's some exciting new things happening there.
Well,
so
why do you think they would go back and revisit it? Why would they rewrite it? What would you think?
Well, because it's, and if it's a show that they did in 1956, the Muni, the book is probably dated. It's probably aged, but the songs and general story are probably something that.
Are you saying that the Muni themselves and their staff went back and rewrote the script?
No.
Or this is a completely updated piece
this is
by
a,
professionals who have worked with the
right,
directors themselves when they wrote it a long time ago and then know about the direction
I
of
don't,
it?
I don't know the specifics of who worked on it, but no, it's something where the Muni is going to be the first place that this brand
new
script
new, okay.
is being produced.
Got it.
So somebody, you know, involved with the rights holders and the property of it have been working on or worked on. I don't know how much the Muni was an impetus for that or not, but the Muni is going to be the first place that this new reimagining of the show is set. So it's basically cool. A revival. And finally, Roald Dahl's Matilda.
Yes.
I'm very excited
That's
about this.
That's the one I'm most excited about.
I know a lot of people who are not excited about it.
Why?
And I kind
it's
of
It's going to be huge production.
It's going to be gigantic, and it's perfect for this new stage because they can do so much. And I saw this when it came through the touring production at the Fox a couple years ago. This also opened on Broadway in 2013, won a bunch of awards. Tim Minchin, music and lyrics, love that guy. He's perfect for tackling the world of anything Roald Dahl. And then just his songwriting style. This is one of those few shows that I was aware of before it came into being. And when I first heard that, oh, there's a Matilda in development, and I heard, oh, Tim Minchin's doing the music, I'm like, that's going to be perfect. That's going to be amazing.
That's exciting.
I really like it. It's, you know, I think where people go away from Matilda is they think about the great pieces of musical theater and how Matilda doesn't necessarily hit the exact marks of what you might think needs to be achieved to be a great piece of musical theater. However, it's wholly its own thing. It knows exactly what it is, and it's very good at that. It is a good spectacle. There are great songs, and it's a story that connects to people.
Yep.
So as ridiculous as things are, as absurd as things are, which, you know, obviously I connect with, but it's a... It's a story. It's a story
which
that people
all
connect.
All of our podcast fans can connect with, as we are an absurdist podcast.
Yeah. But it absolutely, it's great. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to probably see it multiple times. I might even buy tickets.
Whoa, that's a big deal. Probably buy Muni tickets.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
You usually just do a free seater.
Yep, yep.
Well, maybe we'll have to look into season tickets, Bradley.
I don't know about that.
Maybe we'll have to look into season tickets. I don't know. I'm saying maybe.
Okay, maybe. Maybe, yeah, we'll, sure, maybe we'll consider thinking about it.
Okay.
Any other big things? I know we're kind of getting towards the end of our...
Well, it's getting to Halloween time. There's a couple Halloween parties. The Central West End has the legendary Halloween party that they do. I think it's the 27th this year.
Downtown St. Charles is doing their Legends and Lanterns thing again. I think that's happening now.
Yes, currently, as we speak. It's happening right now, and it's happening next Friday. So it's happening, today and tomorrow. And it's happening Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week as well.
Get, old-timey jug bands singing all your favorite Halloween classics.
So imagine Christmas traditions in St. Charles, for those of you who have been there, with carolers and all that, but just spooky Halloween songs and characters and all these things.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it's really funny.
Yeah. It's just tough.
To see people dressed up and look super weird.
Yeah, dude.
So go tell us your Halloween characters that you're going to be. You're going to dress up for this year. I'm going as Freddie Mercury.
Nice.
Because I look like...
Did you get the cape?
Freddie Mercury. Not yet. I have to find one.
Did you get the crown?
No, I'm trying to find them.
All right.
Do we know people? We know people in the theater scene that might be able to help me out with this,
actually,
right?
Stephen Penny might have something.
Okay, Stephen Penny, if you're listening to the pod, hit me up.
I feel like I saw him.
I need my crown.
The thing is, you just need someone who's done...
a scimitar.
You just need someone who's done a King George costume...
Yes, from Hamilton.
Yeah, and then you just do just the cape and the crown.
No one's done a Hamilton production yet.
What?
No one's done a Hamilton production yet.
What do you mean?
They're not allowed to do it yet.
Oh, you know, I'm talking about like just people, like who's like they want it for Halloween. They want to dress up.
Oh, they
want to
dress.
I wasn't saying like
you're not allowed to do productions in Hamilton yet.
Yeah.
Those production rights have not been released.
No, I wasn't talking. Yeah, I meant like an individual person who decided they wanted to dress up as characters from Hamilton before.
Got it.
Contact that individual.
Cool. What are you doing
for what?
This next week? What's going on in your life? Tell me about your life.
Everything
okay? Our listeners want to know how Bradley Rolfe is.
I'm
you okay.
I'm doing well.
Dive deep into your soul real quick.
I'm gonna be, on my calendar, next Tuesday. What are you doing, David?
Next Tuesday?
This coming Tuesday, the 23rd.
Because
there is the Ian McKellen.
What?
King Lear.
Are they putting it on in a theater?
Yeah,
like we go see it at a movie theater.
Yeah, we can see it at the Tivoli.
Oh, okay.
So that might be something we might want to think about doing.
Yeah.
Going to that.
Might be into that.
Yeah.
On yes, TLFC. Hopefully we pull out a winner tonight.
A nice W. So how do ties work in playoffs if it's single elimination?
You play 2 15-minute halves.
Okay,
of overtime.
Okay, you do overtime.
You go to 120 minutes, and then you go to
and then
PKs,
shootouts. Yeah. That's
which
right.
Are
just
the worst.
Yep. What else are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
No. I'm saying what else are you going to do other than...
Charge the field. it's in California, though, so
right,
I'm not
right.
going.
But do you have a better solution than PKs to settle a...
Yeah, golden goal. You just keep going until somebody scores.
There you go.
And I don't care how long it takes.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah.
And people will be like, people are going to say...
Are you saying golden goal after 2:15s or golden goal immediately?
Golden goal after 2:15s.
Okay.
I just think it's unbelievably unfair because...
Well, it's very dissatisfying if you lose.
It's one, because the guessing game of a keeper is the exact...
Well,
your point here is
during overtime, it is the team versus the team, which is what the whole match has been
and
about.
Here's the worst part about it.
But when you do PKs, you're boiling the whole match down to one person against the goalkeeper.
And
that is not a representation of the game whatsoever.
Agreed. The worst part about it is the negative ramifications towards one individual if they miss the final PK.
Then everyone's like, this player is
terrible. Turns around them. Like, the ramifications of that are huge.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? A guy from Colombia got killed one time what? Because he was back going
what
back
year
home.
Was this?
They went back home. It was like 1980s or 1990s. The something brothers, Rodriguez brothers. I don't even know. I can't remember his last name. But anyways, one of the two brothers was playing for Colombia, and he missed a PK or he missed a goal, like a wide open goal, and it should have scored. And went back to Colombia, and just fans killed him because like they're that bad. So talk about the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Just make it golden goal when it comes to a person's life.
Right. I agree.
Anyways, there's some political thoughts from a St. Louis in on Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to, the two of us, we need to, coming soon on Overarching Podcast, an on location experience and review of the Forest Park. What?
Kendall Wiley? At the Art Museum?
I was just thinking about that. We could do that too.
I'm gonna do an. I say we should do that. We do an on location of Kendall Wiley.
We also need to do on location because the Forest Park tour, like Forest Park Visitor Center audio tours.
We'll do that.
We're gonna do that. We'll do that. We'll also do. Yeah.
So that's our next episode.
Yeah, coming soon.
Episode 23
to an internet near you,
and we might run into you, and you might be on our podcast if we talk to you about it. So you know, you are gain. You might be famous with our 200 listeners.
Sweet.
Something
like
that.
Make it 201. One of you, Not you. The other person. One of you needs to tell one friend to listen to the show.
Don't do that again. We're going to lose listeners if you do that. You pull that stunt one more time. I'm just going to.
What if I push that stunt?
Push it?
You said if I pull that stunt, what if I push the stunt?
On that note, bye, everybody.